WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek, Gary, and Chase Blaine with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 855-915-9636 remains the telephone number. 855.
And please call us. We love hearing from you.
91.5 WMFO. Yeah, you can call this week. This isn't like last week where I was like, please don't call because I can't press the buttons and type the things.
Yeah, sorry I missed you guys last week. I was taking care of my lovely little cherubs in New York City. They're so cute, by the way. Like, it's honestly, I think I got maybe 9 new jokes out of hanging out with them.
Can we talk about my wife's hatred? Just absolute hatred of Coney Island?
I mean, it's a valid hatred.
Because we're going down for my birthday, right? And, you know, and I'm like, I've been trying to get to Coney Island for years.
If it's for your birthday, though, I mean, that's, it's like when I planned a murder / suicide / drug overdose tour of Los Angeles for my birthday.
That's a good time.
Where I was like, my boyfriend at the time, I was like, you're just gonna have to roll with this. Like, we're doing this. And it's my birthday, so you can't say anything about it. And that's kind of the same as going to Coney Island.
Nice.
What do you want to, like, what is your reason for wanting to go there?
Coney Island. The Cyclone. The Wonder Wheel.
I was going to say, you want to go for the rides, don't you?
Yeah.
And obviously for a corn dog, because who does not get a corn dog when they're
exactly
Coney Island?
Coney Island, famous Coney Island corn dogs. So we're going down. So we're doing it a little different this time. Molly actually got tickets to go see To Kill a Mockingbird, which is incredible because you can't get those tickets.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
So we're going to see that. We're going to see The Ferryman, which apparently is going to win all the Tonys this year for best play, at least the ones that Network doesn't win. So we're leaving Friday. We're down there all day Saturday. I'm like, perfect. We can go to Coney Island on Saturday. She texts me out of the blue, and she's like, tickets for Working are like $25, and Helen Hunt said it. You can talk to the cast after the show. And blah, blah, blah. So you want to go? And I'm like, yes. And then I realize afterward, it's like Saturday afternoon.
So exactly when you want to be at Coney Island.
Now there is no time to go to Coney Island.
I mean, you could still do it. I just spent a week in New York City. I managed to do some ridiculous stuff.
Have you been to the Hudson Yards yet?
Yes, I have.
I hear bad things.
It's great and terrible at the same time.
Yeah.
It's really fun. In terms of, actually, my senior ball was there when I was in college.
But that's before they put up the thing.
The
Instagrammable thing. That Instagrammable things are now already out of fashion.
Oh my God, don't even get me started.
So, congratulations on putting up your Instagrammable thing that no one now cares about.
But I still love Hudson Yards because it provides a service that you otherwise wouldn't get in New York City. You know what I mean? Like, it's New York City, like, is awesome, but it also kind of deprives you of things that you would get if you lived in a suburb or any other city in America.
You mean like actual waterfront that you can enjoy? Yeah. And yeah.
But
that's what Central Park is for.
True. Which I went to last week to my favorite park, and it was awesome.
I'm guessing Strawberry Fields.
Yes. Strawberry Fields, one of my favorite parts. I also love, I actually don't remember the name of it, but there's this part that isn't like the main lawn or the main pond, but I just always know how to get to it from my brother's house. I just always find my way there.
We inevitably wind up spending all of our time in Midtown.
The Fields and Yards. I think that's what it's called.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But it's like you have to climb over a bunch of rocks and then you get there and you're like, oh my God, this is so pleasant and tranquil.
Yeah.
As opposed to a lot of Central Park, which is not that.
No. A lot of people in Central Park, some of them using heroin.
Yes, quite often. Well, I said to my mom, like, I went there with my mom 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago.
Still better than Washington Square.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everyone's doing heroin and smoking so much pot in Washington Square. But I said to my mom, I told her, like, it was a really nice day, like, 3 weeks ago when we were in New York, that I was like, we have to do my favorite Central Park walk. So we went, I made us sandwiches, and we went to my favorite part in, like I said, it's called, like, I forget, the lakes and blah, blah, whatever it is. But then we went to Strawberry Fields, because I always do. And I said to her, I was just like, it's going to smell like pot here. And she started laughing, being like, you're editorializing. Like, you're being exaggerative. And then we actually got there. And first of all, the guy, there's always someone playing the guitar, singing Beatles songs there. And the guy was messing up the lyrics of the Beatles songs that he was singing.
You can't do that there.
Yeah.
You can't and, like, do the that thing there. Is,
like, of anywhere to mess up the lyrics of Beatles songs, like, you've got to be kidding me. So what ended up happening, my mom walked away to a vendor to get us some water.
And
I started singing. As he was playing the guitar, and people who were gathered around him started gathering around me.
Nice.
And my mom got back and was just like, what? I just went to get us water. And you're right, it does smell like weed here. Yes.
She should have asked the water guy for some weed, because I guarantee you he's got some.
Seriously, he totally has some.
I'm betting he's at least got some edibles. They haven't legalized recreational down there yet, have they?
No. So in New York, it's still medicinal.
Yeah.
They've legalized recreational, like, sort of. Like, it's on a bill, but it's not.
Yeah, but
officially,
but it's not like the old days where if they catch you with weed, they're going to chuck you in Rikers Island for the weekend.
Not at all. Like, that's what was funny is my mom, like, as I was walking through Central Park with my mother, she's like, I can't believe there are two people smoking a joint over there. And I was like, do you know how many times I've smoked a joint over there?
Yeah.
Like, it's absurd. Well, I am very glad to be back in Boston.
Nice.
And I'm very glad to tell all of you this super exciting news. According to the Patriot Ledger, the Boston Pops will embrace royalty at its annual 4th of July concert on the Esplanade. They have actually scheduled Queen Latifah.
Not a real queen.
To join, I'm quoting the Patriot Ledger, to join Keith Lockhart, who is awesome, and the Pops for the traditional concert and fireworks spectacular. For those of you who don't know, I mean, Queen Latifah is amazing. Like, she is, if ever there was a jack of all trades, it's her. Like, she can rap, she can sing, she can act, she can dance.
Oh, I love me some Queen Latifah. She's great.
Utterly incredible.
She's great. She's like talent, talent, talent.
Yeah. And actually, when I worked for a fashion line, they used to have all the assistants and stuff, like, try on dresses to make sure they were fitted properly. And I never got to, because I'm, those of you who have seen me in real life know that I'm a plus-sized woman.
Well, you're a giant Amazon Irish girl, yeah, is what you are.
I mean,
are.
I'm 6 feet tall. Like, when I'm a size 12, that means I'm too skinny.
Yeah.
But there was one time that they wanted me to try on a dress that they had custom made for a celebrity. And I tried it on and was like, this feels so cool. Like, the boobs feel a little too big. Everything else is cool. Who am I trying this on for? And it was Queen Latifah.
Nice. So you're the same size? You're the same size as the queen.
Yeah, that's awesome. Just like, that is the coolest thing ever.
That's awesome.
But I love, I mean, Boston is notoriously kind of...
racist? You come out and say it.
Took the words right out of my
mouth. You come out and say it.
Yeah, Boston is notoriously a bit racist, and that's what makes me love that.
Let me roll that back a little bit. It's not so much that we're racist as we prefer white people, I think is sort of the general,
generally
know.
Intolerant is a more gentle way to put it. But it's as someone who was born and raised in Boston and has lived all over the world, it really bothers me that's true. And I think that it's really great to the fact that Boston just invited Queen Latifah, especially for something that we do every year for like a really important event.
There are certain people who are pop stars or, you know, celebrities or whatever, and you look at them and you're like, why? Like, there isn't anything special there.
There's no reason you're here.
If you've ever seen Queen Latifah perform, you know why. You know why.
I was going to say,
she's that good.
Well, and that's the big thing of it, is that they've invited other people to do it where you're just like, okay, whatever, this person.
Yeah.
But she, first of all, I mean, like I said, as a black person in Boston, it's an important step for us to take.
By the way, they're still going to hassle any black people that come down to watch the concert, so keep that in mind.
But on top of that, it's like she's such an empowered woman. She's so talented.
Yep.
She represents everything that we should be pushing forward in terms of, especially as a female entertainer. Like, I've always looked up to her just because she's so amazing.
Yeah.
And it's so nice to see the city I grew up in like embrace that concept.
She's that triple threat that they talk about. It's like, man, is she that
she's
triple
threat. She's gonna EGOT.
Yeah. Yep. That's awesome. Here's something that may be of interest to you if you've been dining out lately. Kelly's Roast Beef and Saugus. That's the one right on Route 1, kids.
Oh, how many times have I gotten takeout from
there? Yeah, well, hopefully not recently. Kelly's Roast Beef and Saugus, this is from NECN.com, closed after worker is infected with salmonella.
You're kidding me.
If you've been to Kelly's...
Oh, my goodness.
Been to Kelly's recently. A cook at Kelly's Roast Beef and Saugus, at Kelly's Roast Beef in Saugus, Massachusetts, is sick with Salmonella typhi, a bacteria which causes typhoid fever.
Oh, my God.
The restaurant confirmed the information Tuesday. The illness is rare in the United States, but more common in some developing nations. Kelly says the employee had just returned from out of the country, Guatemala, to be specific. We were coming to have clams, roast beef, the usual, said customer Charles Self, one of the many regulars showing up Tuesday night, unaware that the restaurant temporarily closed down. Kelly said it is allowed to be open, but they don't have enough available staff because everyone needs to be tested before coming back to work. Only the Saugus location is impacted. Typhoid fever can be life-threatening and only affects about 350 people in the United States every year, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. People who are actively sick with the illness can spread the bacteria to others. Kelly's management says they're not sure. The cook. Kelly's management says they're not sure when they can reopen. About 100 employees need to be tested. So,
typhoid? Like, what is it, 1922? Are you kidding me?
The thing about typhoid is it's a tropical illness. And it's not so much that it's 1922. It's just that it doesn't survive up here normally.
That's the thing. Is like, when I hear typhoid, I think of when FDR was president. Like, it's absurd.
Yeah.
like the fact that Kelly's Roast Beef has someone with typhoid.
We follow good.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh. It's really sad that this person is sick.
It is.
But at the same time,
yeah, it's like, oh.
It's just like, are you.
Typhoid? Really?
Are you joking?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Next you'll be telling me they got cholera at Jack in the Box.
Yeah, and, you know, seriously. Like, do you have the measles? Do you have what is that little version of chicken pox? No, that's the measles.
Smallpox.
Thank you.
No, that's a different thing. Smallpox is very bad for you. The measles are in Keene, New Hampshire. If you've been to Keene, New Hampshire, you want to stay away from the measles.
What is going on?
So
what is going on?
So here's the thing. Probably no big deal. Probably not a big deal at all. But if you ate
Jesus H. Christ.
If you ate at Kelly's, they haven't said anything about when this guy was working. State Department of Health isn't making a big deal about it. But if you were at Kelly's and you start to, you know, get some feverish symptoms, might want to go see a doctor. All I'm saying. I'm not saying don't go back there. You know, I will applaud the way they're handling this, because you could have just, you know, kept the place open with whatever staff wasn't sick, but they're cleaning everything up. They're getting everybody tested. They're making sure everything's safe before they go back to work down there. So I will applaud them for that. They're at least trying to do the right thing. And if somebody comes to work sick, you don't know. You know, people go to work sick all the time.
Yeah, that's true. Well, speaking of people being sick, 7 people were arrested in Quincy yesterday after police say they were involved in a drug deal. Members of the South Shore Drug Task Force, which thank God that exists, including Quincy detectives, were conducting surveillance on Southern Artery, right where I live, after 3 p.m. when they saw what they believed to be a drug deal in the Stop and Shop parking lot between a pickup truck and a sedan. Yes, that was worthy of laughing over.
No, that was cough. Need the cough.
It was a laugh cough. Police pulled over both cars after they left the parking lot and found cocaine, fentanyl, and Suboxone strips. Both were arrested. I'm sorry, both members of the vehicle were arrested. This drives me crazy because I grew up with these people.
Yeah. Like,
whenever I hear about something like this happening in Quincy, I'm flummoxed.
But you understand that's what Quincy is.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, I've talked on the show before about the fact that, like, I feel very lucky that I went away to college, because I got back and went to a party and was like, why are there so many couches and why does everyone look like they're about to fall asleep?
Yeah.
And the answer was, because all of them are on heroin.
Yeah. And that's what you do in Quincy.
And that, I mean, I immediately was just like, okay, leaving now.
This is
time to go.
This is why when you come in and you're like, oh no, Quincy's getting better and they're improving Quincy, I'm like, it's Quincy.
They are in their, first of all, Quincy, have some respect. Second of all,
at least I'm not calling it Quinky.
Yeah, you call it that sometimes, though. but no, well, that's the thing, is that, I mean, it is definitely, that's the irony of how it's getting so gentrified. And, like, I know doctors who are buying condos in Quincy. Like,
yeah, but they're buying them on the waterfront. They're not buying, like, inland.
They bought, one of them, who's a comedian and also a doctor, bought a condo in my old middle school that was converted into condos.
Yeah, you told me about that.
It drives me crazy. Like, my, the pub I bought my first beer at when I was 15, I went in there recently and was like, you know, you sold beer illegally, right? And they were like, yeah, we do.
Yeah.
But I told them, I was like, I know how much Quincy's getting gentrified. Please, please, please don't cave. Like, don't sell. Like, please be here for me to come home to, because you are my home. Like, they have pool table that's slanted from beer being spilled on it, and five regulars that I see every time that I go there who just sit there sipping Guinness and speaking Irish brogues. Like, that's what Quincy should be.
Yeah.
But the like I said, the other side of it is that it's, when I read this story, all I could think to myself was, first of all, I know the exact Stop and Shop they were at. And second of all, I am not surprised at all.
Well, it's the Lowell of the South Shore. And Lowell is in the same boat. They've been trying to gentrify Lowell for years. There are nice parts of Quincy. There are nice parts of Lowell.
Yeah.
But there are also a lot of people who are, for whatever reason, deep into the drug culture.
Yeah.
Hanging around in both of those towns. And it's like, you try and get something going, and then the townies show up and they ruin everything.
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, for part of my adolescence, I was very, as much as it plagues me to say it, I was very involved in the drug culture.
Like, sure.
My boyfriend was a pot dealer. We got robbed at Wendy's across the street from where this happened.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of part of the culture there, but it, I mean, basically, like, it's like South Shore Irish trashy, North Shore Italian crash trashy. Like,
yeah, that's pretty fair.
Largely what it is.
Although we got plenty of Irish up north too. We're not, you know, we don't.
Well, and we have plenty of Italian down south.
As long as you're Catholic, you're good. Of,
yeah, it's basically like Catholic trashy on both sides.
Yeah. But when I was growing up, if you were taking drugs, you were a loser. And the kids that took drugs were like off in their own little space. They weren't mainstream by any stretch of the imagination. And the kids that were like the popular kids and the mainstream kids and all the rest of that, everybody drank. There's plenty of drinking going on. But nobody was smoking pot. Nobody was doing, there were a couple of kids that were doing cocaine. Because cocaine was the rich kid's drug back in the 1980s. It still is today, as far as I know.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure it still is.
But in the 1980s, Coke was a status symbol.
Coke was like, if you could afford Coke,
yeah,
then if, you were... That's what I always said to my parents when they sent me to private school. Is like, you wanted to keep me out of trouble? The rich kids afford the good drugs.
Yeah. If you were doing Coke, you'd made it, you know? But even then, there wasn't much of it. You didn't hear about, oh yeah, they were getting high and, you know, people were getting arrested and all the rest of this. No, everybody got busted for drinking, but that was it. It wasn't, if you were doing drugs, yeah, everybody would just sort of take two steps away from you and be like, that's not cool. I'm not hanging out with you anymore.
That's, like I said, like that was the big thing about, I just left for college at just the right time, because when I got home for, it was, I think, Christmas break, my freshman year, everyone was just doing heroin, and like all of the people that I just used to party and have fun with were, and dance around with and have fun, like, you know, like I just looked around like, why is everyone on the verge of passing out? This is so confusing. And then the moment somebody said like they're all on heroin, I was like, okay, I'm out. But I always think that I was so lucky that I got to leave.
Yeah.
Because God knows, I mean, I did all the other drugs they were doing when I was 18. And then I went to college and just kind of wised up.
Yeah. I mean, when I got to college, there was a lot of weed floating around. There was a lot of everything floating around.
Yeah, like weed, I don't even consider a drug. But it's like I was doing cocaine before I left for college.
But I was also,
statute of limitations, you can't arrest me.
I was also hanging out with the art kids, and the art kids are always like, you know, a little crazy. Very, we were all a little crazy.
Very, very fast and loose. Yes, we are.
But it wasn't, there were only a couple of people that you look at and be like, you have a problem. You know, because this was an expensive school, and people who were like hardcore drug addicts were not going to be going to this school. So anyway, this story is now a little bit out of date, but I still feel the need to share it because...
Oh, God, I can't wait for this.
I don't know that... I don't know that the final die has been cast, to coin an appropriate phrase.
I'm sorry. I try so hard not to snort on the air,
Don't snort on the air. I have to demand that stops.
That just... I mean, then don't say things to make me snort. Is, I guess, the results of that. Anyways, sorry, continue.
It's from the Boston Globe. Why would Wynn consider selling its Everett Casino when it's so close to opening? Now, we talked about this before you went to New York.
Yes, we did.
And
it's ridiculous when that is a headline.
When the State Gaming Commission was still harassing the Wynn people. And last week, it came down, $35 million fine. And I said, when we were talking about it last, Shay, that the podunk, because this is a podunk move, okay? Boston likes to sit around.
Yes, absolutely.
Boston likes to sit around and say, we're a world-class city. Massachusetts likes to sit around and say, we're a world-class state. This is the most podunk, picayune, small-town garbage that you're ever going to say. And this is why Massachusetts is just a massive lie. It is a massive lie.
My brain hurts. Like, my brain physically hurts.
Because we have these podunk politicians sitting around. They're like, hey, let's shake down the casino boys a little bit more. So I said, as you recall, Shay.
Oh, those dummies.
If the State Gaming Commission... if the State Gaming Commission puts up a fine that's too high, Wynn's going to walk away.
Stop it.
They're just going to sell it. They're going to be like, turnkey casino.
They're just going to sell that gigantic building that they've spent over a year building.
Doesn't matter. I told you what the ad was going to say. Fully furnished casino, untouched by human hands, move-in condition. And somebody would come in and buy it.
I'm trying so hard not to snort.
All right, can I turn off your microphone so I can get through this? Or you...
Seriously, maybe you need to. No, I'm good. I'm sorry. I just didn't read the story and my brain is exploding.
This state drives me crazy. Hey, say something for a minute because someone's on the phone.
That's ridiculous. And I worked across the Mystic River from the building of this casino and watched it. I watched it rise to its height, to the point where...
Like an albatross.
Yeah, seriously. Like, I watched it grow. I watched them take WYNN off of it and then put it back on. And it's... I mean, at this point, let's be honest with ourselves, America. Donald Trump is our president. We're not going to be able to change anything that already exists. Like, it's happening. The things about capitalism and conservatives or libertarians or whatever, it's just going to happen.
So
just keep your mouth shut and let good people have lucrative incomes.
So,
like, that's the way I feel about it.
May 20th, this was Monday. After 8 years of regulatory hurdles, record fines, and damaging fallout from a sexual misconduct scandal, Wynn Resorts has finally reached the one-yard line, only 5 weeks away from opening its $2.6 billion casino resort along the banks of the Mystic River in Everett. So why on earth would they punt now? Asks the Boston Globe. They're going to give you the answer to this question in a moment. But first, we have to create the mystery. You know, we have to make it seem like this is the most appalling, unbelievable thing in the world. The high stakes mystery, the Globe says. The high stakes mystery hovers over ongoing discussions between Wynn Resorts and MGM Resorts about a potential sale of Encore Boston Harbor, which is scheduled to open June 23rd with 671 hotel rooms, 15 bars and restaurants, and a massive gambling hall. On Friday, the company has acknowledged in a joint statement to the Globe that they are in very preliminary discussions about a sale. The stunning news has sent waves of concern through political circles. As flummoxed policymakers try to make sense of Wynn's motivations and what a blockbuster sale might mean. I have no clue, absolutely no clue, said former state senator Stanley C. Rosenberg, a key author of the state's gaming law, on why Wynn Resorts would consider selling so soon after state regulators allowed it to retain its license. This is not going to be a slam dunk by any means. This isn't a monopoly game, says former state senator Stanley C. Rosenberg. Industry experts were also mystified. Makes no sense at all, said Alan R. Wojanski, a New Jersey casino consultant and president of Gaming USA. I don't know why they would even entertain it. A sale would have been easier to understand a few months ago, he said. Now, here's where we get into the why and the fact that this is not a mystery at all. A sale would have been easier to understand a few months ago before Massachusetts regulators completed their investigation into Wynn Resort's handling of sexual misconduct allegations against its founder, Steve Wynn. But after 15 months of investigating and deliberation, the State Gaming Commission announced on April 30th that Wynn Resorts was fit to operate a casino in Massachusetts, lifting a cloud that had hung over the project. The commission fined the company $35 million after investigators concluded that former executives helped cover up allegations against Steve Wynn. Public companies have a duty to shareholders to consider business opportunities, and some industry specialists said they could see why Wynn Resorts would be open to realistic offers. They're not an operator of regional casinos, said Frank Fantini, publisher of Fantini's Gaming Report. They're in Las Vegas, they're in Macau, they're really an Asian gaming company now, with eyes on a lucrative expansion in Japan. I don't know if they really need Boston. That's not the reason why they were talking to the MGM people. Here's the reason why they were talking to the MGM people. The Boston Globe once again buries the lead. Privately, Wynn officials have been baffled and increasingly frustrated by their treatment in Massachusetts. They spent billions to clean up a heavily polluted property and build what they describe as the largest single-phased private development in state history, poised to become one of the state's largest employers. They don't receive any enticing state tax breaks and, in fact, will pay 25% of all gambling revenue in state taxes. Yet few elected officials ever offer public support for the company, and the Gaming Commission sharply criticized Wynn Chief Executive Matt Maddox in recent decision, even requiring him to get executive coaching. I wonder why they would ever consider selling to MGM. Maybe the fact that you shook them down for $35 million, maybe the fact that you were demanding one of their executives go get coaching so that they can operate a casino in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, as if our casino operators, ladies and gentlemen, can only be the most virtuous and upstanding people. They have to go to church every Sunday, not just any church, the right church. They have to behave benevolently toward children. They have to abstain from smoking and drinking and other forms of vice. Only the finest people may run our Massachusetts casinos. We're not Atlantic City. We're not Las Vegas. We will only allow the finest executives in America, the most upstanding and honorable executives in America, to operate casinos in our state. This is nonsense. This is absolute nonsense. Now, today, the State Gaming Commission told the Wynn folks, you can have a 4 a.m. liquor license for people who are playing games. You can't walk in off the street and get served. You actually got to be sitting at a table, sitting at a slot machine. You've got to be gambling if you want to drink until 4. Everybody else, same deal. You're done at 1 a.m. Following that, they said, we're not talking to MGM. Everybody freaked out about the MGM thing. Okay? And are we surprised? Are we in any way, shape, or form surprised that this came to this? Governor Baker's all upset. Mayor Marty's all upset. Everybody's all upset. Why weren't you reining in the Gaming Commission when the Gaming Commission was playing podunk politics, behaving like small-time, small-town operators, and trying to shake down the Wynn people for something that had absolutely nothing at all to do with the application, the development, or the operation of this property. Steve Wynn is not going to be in some executive penthouse sexually harassing women. He does that in Vegas. Okay? He's not running the thing. Yeah, it's his name on it. Yeah, it's his company. But if sexual harassment is the worst charge you got against the guy who's running casinos, guess what? That's a company that you want running your casinos. That's a guy you should have on board. Nope. Podunk State of Massachusetts sees an opportunity to keep the shakedown going. Let's get another $35 million out of them. And I guarantee you, at the point where they were talking to MGM, somebody smart within the Wynn company had sat down and said, you know what, Massachusetts is going to do this again and again and again, and we're not going to be able to make money doing this. That's what's going on. That's why, but now that's this...
Pretty much everyone's point of view comes down to money.
This is insane. This is insane. Because when the $35 million fine was announced, I talked about it last week and I said, okay, they're going to pay the fine. We move on. Everything's good. Because I brought forward that idea that Wynn may just walk away. They may just say, you know what, we're going to sell it.
Yeah, we've been talking about this for like a month.
And everybody who was hired is out of a job, and it's the State Gaming Commission's fault because they're playing podunk politics with this.
And it's weird. The other night I went to Tavern at the End of the World, which our listeners
fine
know.
Fine establishment.
That we both love. I went there to use the bathroom and just met people, and they took me under their wing. But they were all here to help just prepare the casino thing.
Were they there to sexually harass women? Were you sexually harassed by any of them?
Oh, like only in a good way.
You understand that only the finest, most honorable and upstanding people can be allowed to run casinos in Massachusetts. Only the finest.
Well, they were salt of the earth. They were wonderful. And I just sat and ate and drank beer and cider with them. It was awesome.
I was kind of hoping not because I want to see anybody out of work, and I know like 5,000 people have been hired to work at this place. But I was kind of hoping that the MGM thing would fall through, and Wynn would just be like, "Yeah, we're gonna walk away. We're gonna put it up for sale. If it opens this year, it opens this year. If it doesn't, it doesn't."
I mean, it's weird, just given our blue laws, that there's even a casino. Like there's even a talk of a casino
because we passed a law saying that there would be.
But at the same time, it's like I think too many people are entrenched in the blue laws for that.
And by the way, the fact that this is a Wynn casino is a big deal.
Yeah.
I was talking to some people out in Vegas today, and they're like, you guys get, and they were excited. They're like, you got the Wynn opening up there. When's that opening?
That's a huge deal.
When's that opening? When? And I'm like, it's opening the end of June.
Yeah, like that's like, I don't know if any of you have ever seen the movie Ocean's 11, but it's the equivalent of, oh God, now of course I can't think of his name, of the guy who owned...
Yeah,
it's the equivalent of like someone opening the Bellagio here.
Yeah, this is, Wynn is the best of the best.
Yeah, like this is like... the casino gold mine.
Yeah. This is the kind of casino that James Bond hangs out in.
Yeah, exactly. Like we'll have celebrities hanging out at this casino.
Yeah.
When it opens.
Well, actually, no, because they'll get to Boston, they'll be like, wait, it's in Everett, and then they're just going to get back on their private plane and go home.
But that's the thing, is that, like, I mean, it's in Everett, but it's going to put Everett on the map. Like, it really is. And that's like, I've talked about the
fact. I don't know if everyone wants to be on the map.
I don't think it does either. The best joke my mother has ever made off the cuff was when I slept on Tom Dustin's couch one time and my car was parked on the street and I get a parking ticket. And every parking ticket I've ever gotten, you can pay online or like send a check. And they said it had to be a money order.
Yeah, that's Everett.
And I said to my mom, I was like, this is so weird, like that I have to send a money order and can't just send a check. And she said, well, it's Everett. The they know the check would bounce.
Yeah.
And I just looked at her, I was like, boom.
Yeah.
Bro.
Yeah. Like, never, not one of your up and coming.
Well said.
And it's like, you look at where this casino is.
Oh, yeah. It's just across the Mystic River.
This is a five-star hotel resort.
Oh, yeah. It looks beautiful.
Okay.
It looks like it's made of bronze.
It has no grounds. Okay. It is across the street from a power plant.
True.
In a neighborhood, and in the neighborhood over there has been unfavorably compared to East Germany under Soviet rule in terms of like the smog and the air quality and all the rest of that. So what views do you get from your hotel room? Well, you can look at the power plant.
You can look at Assembly Square.
And the neighborhood that has been unfavorably compared to East Germany under Soviet rule. You can look at the upper and lower decks of 93 and watch traffic not move. You can watch traffic not move on the Tobin Bridge if you're on the upper levels.
That's basically just keep your eyes closed if you're staying there.
Yeah, they should really just black out the windows and just, you know, or project something on there.
Well, that's the thing is that, like, I mean, you could... I don't get why they didn't open... Like, my best friend lives in Revere. I could see a lot of really good vantage points from... there.
Well, you know they wanted to have the casino over there because then you could have kept the horse track alive. And the horse track will be shutting down.
The horse track does have some hilarious graffiti on it,
but,
I will say.
Because
I drive by constantly.
You would have cleaned up the horse track. Now, you know what stopped that? Winthrop. Winthrop voted against it.
I know.
Because Winthrop was like, no, we don't want that traffic over there. And the thing, interesting thing about Winthrop. Winthrop is one of those towns. There's a stretch of Winthrop that is at the end of a runway at Logan Airport. But it's also right on the water. And it's one of those areas that 90% of the population is cops and firefighters. Because it's cheap waterfront property. And cops and firefighters flock to areas like that. There's a section of Long Island. Just across the bridge from New York City.
Yeah, like Nassau County.
Full of cops and firefighters. There's a section of Jersey City on the water. Full of cops and firefighters. They cluster in these places. They didn't want it. The Richies, a little bit further down in Winthrop, didn't want it. Because they were like, you're going to destroy the character of Winthrop. And you know what? They're probably right about that.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the thing of it is that honestly, like, my friends who live in Revere are musicians who travel a lot and who understand the pain in the... can't remember if I can say this on the radio. The pain in the butt that I experience having to drive everywhere all the time. So, like, it's not lost on me that... having a lot of traffic in Revere like that would be annoying and would just change a lot of people's lives a lot in a bad way. Because honestly, like, I go... So, by the way, Kim was dropped off of The Voice.
Wow. You know what? I'm so hugely disappointed.
But she made it to the top eight and... that's amazing in and of itself. That's who I'm talking about. But like the two of them,
does she get a Wendy's commercial out of that, or there's got
to
be?
They do. They actually asked her to stay. Shoot, I'm messing up my whole what's hot for.
All right, well, save it. We're gonna have an update on Kim later in the show. We'll leave it at that.
But suffice it to say that, like, for people who live in a place like Revere or Winthrop, probably not Winthrop, but people who live in the Revere and have to travel into Boston all the time or travel all over the place all the time, it's legitimate that they wouldn't want it there.
Because there's really only one way in and out of Winthrop.
Yep.
And
it's like 16. That's it.
That's where the casino was going to be.
Yeah, like that's it. Though I do, I mean, it does make me a little depressed every time I drive to Kim's house. I like drive back, drive by Suffolk Downs, and I'm just like, oh.
Yeah.
What fresh graffiti is here?
There'll be, it'll be condos soon. Don't you worry.
WMFO Medford. There's no sun up in the sky.
Stormy weather. Your Boston 5-day forecast is spring-like. She came back from New York and brought spring-like weather with her. Thank you for that.
Yeah, you know, I figured I would,
appreciate it.
I would do a favor.
What was the low 50s tonight? Cloudy tomorrow. High's going to get up around 70, even with the clouds. Low's around 60 tomorrow night. Friday, mostly cloudy, some wind blowing around. High's up around 70 once again. Low's in the mid-50s Friday night. Saturday, beautiful. We got Memorial Day weekend coming up, and it is going to be a winner. Saturday, mostly sunny skies, high around 70 degrees, lows around 60 Saturday night. Sunday, mostly cloudy, could be some showers. Could be some showers late afternoon, because we're going to get up to 80 degrees on Sunday. And you know what that means, is the showers come in late in the day. Lows around 60 degrees, and then on Monday, mostly sunny. High of 70, lows in the upper 50s Monday night.
You know what? I think we should memorialize that. Biggity, biggity, boom.
Nice. Yeah. So it's starting to look a little bit more seasonal. It's not going to be super, super hot. It's not going to be super, super humid. Sunday is probably going to be the most summer-like day, which means you're going to get the afternoon nonsense going on. But nice-looking Memorial Day weekend for you. It should be good weather if you're having that cookout on Monday. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. It is WMFO Medford. I'm Derek Gary. She's Shea Spillane. On the Town with Mikey D is what happens at 9 o'clock tonight. Stick around. You'll get everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. When we come back, more of what's going on in the world. I did not get a chance to play this last week ahead of Tufts University graduation, and most of the graduations were last weekend.
Yeah, actually. I was going to say, like, every graduation was last weekend.
Graduations. We got all of those going on last weekend, right? And then on top of that, we had the motorcycle rally for wounded warriors happening last weekend. 6,000, and credit to these guys, 6,000 motorcyclists showed up to raise money for wounded veterans, which is awesome. Unless you live in one of those communities where there's 6,000 motorcycles rolling down Main Street and nothing's moving. And you're sitting in traffic and you're like, why?
Well, and honestly, like being on the road with motorcyclists terrifies me because I'm so scared that I'm going to kill one of them.
Yeah, well, when there's 6,000 of them, you're not gonna. Let me tell you that. But it's just we've got to figure out some way of spreading some of this stuff out on the calendar, you know, because it's you're sitting in the graduation traffic and then it's the motorcycle traffic and it's like, I support all of this. I absolutely love the motorcycle ride. It's great. It's a cool thing that happens every year.
Yeah.
But when you're sitting in the traffic, you're like,
Yeah, just, I mean, it's the same way I feel when there's like a marathon or a 5K for a charity where I'm like, this is so great and so annoying at the same time.
It's like everybody pretty much knows if it's a Saturday or a Sunday at this time of year, you stay away from the Museum of Science, you stay away from the Esplanade.
Definitely.
Because there's a walk for something going on down there.
Yeah, somebody is raising money for something and it's great, but annoying as hell.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't want to, I'm not bagging on anybody. You know, I'm just saying like.
Yeah, like I've done a ton of those walks. I've done the breast cancer walk. I've done the March for Dimes.
Yeah.
I've done all of that. But even as I was doing it, all I could think was, God, this must be annoying for anyone who's just trying to get home.
Yeah. And that's it. Is it sort of like, you know, if you know it's coming and you can just sort of hunker down for a few hours, it's like, all right. Or you can go down and watch it and listen to it because it's quite loud. And it's, as I say, it's cool. I support you guys 100%. The traffic.
That's the hardest part of it is that you're thinking, oh, this is for such a good cause and this is so wonderful.
Yes.
But
the traffic.
God, I hate having to wait 45 minutes for something that should take 15.
You know what? But you know what? I'm a monster for saying that. I really am.
You're not, though. That's the thing. Honestly, it's being, you're not a monster. You're a human. Like, you're, it is what it is, in that it's just natural to be so annoyed by that.
Anybody wants to call me a monster,
recognizing that you feel like a monster for feeling that way.
I do. And if you want to call me a monster, that's fine. I will back you up 100%.
I mean, Derek, you're a monster for like 19 other reasons, but not for that.
No, I'm not. I'm generally nice and agreeable. Easy to deal with. Anyway, this goes out.
I just snorted to shame you for being a monster.
This goes out to the class of 2019. Good luck in your future endeavors. Back in a minute here on WMFO Medford.
Ladies and gentlemen of the class of 99, wear sunscreen. If I could offer you only one tip for the future, sunscreen would be it. The long-term benefits of sunscreen have been proved by scientists, whereas the rest of my advice has no basis more reliable than my own meandering experience. I will dispense this advice now. Enjoy the power and beauty of your youth. Oh, never mind. You will not understand the power and beauty of your youth until they've faded. But trust me, in 20 years, you look back at photos of yourself and recall in a way you can't grasp now how much possibility lay before you and how fabulous you really looked. You are not as fat as you imagine. Don't worry about the future, or worry, but know that worrying is as effective as trying to solve an algebra equation by chewing bubble gum. The real troubles in your life are apt to be things that never crossed your worried mind, the kind that blindsides you at 4 p.m. on some idle Tuesday. Do one thing every day that scares you. Sing. Don't be reckless with other people's hearts. Don't put up with people who are reckless with yours. Floss. Don't waste your time on jealousy. Sometimes you're ahead, sometimes you're behind. The race is long. In the end, it's only with yourself. Remember compliments you receive. Forget the insults. If you succeed in doing this, tell me how. Keep your old love letters. Throw away your old bank statements. Stretch. Don't feel guilty if you don't know what you want to do with your life. The most interesting people I know didn't know at 22 what they wanted to do with their lives. Some of the most interesting 40-year-olds I know still don't. Get plenty of calcium. Be kind to your knees. You'll miss them when they're gone. Maybe you'll marry. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll have children. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll divorce at 40. Maybe you'll dance the funky chicken on your 75th wedding anniversary. Whatever you do, don't congratulate yourself too much, or berate yourself either. Your choices are half chance. So are everybody else's. Enjoy your body. Use it every way you can. Don't be afraid of it or what other people think of it. It's the greatest instrument you'll ever own. Dance. Even if you have nowhere to do it but in your own living room. Read the directions, even if you don't follow them. Do not read beauty magazines. They will only make you feel ugly. Get to know your parents. You never know when they'll be gone for good. Be nice to your siblings. They're your best link to your past and the people most likely to stick with you in the future. Understand that friends come and go, but with a precious few, you should hold on. Work hard to bridge the gaps in geography and lifestyle, because the older you get, the more you need the people you knew when you were young. Live in New York City once, but leave before it makes you hard. Live in Northern California once, but leave before it makes you soft. Travel. Accept certain inalienable truths. prices will rise, politicians will philander, you too will get old. And when you do, you'll fantasize that when you were young, prices were reasonable, politicians were noble, and children respected their elders. Respect your elders. Don't expect anyone else to support you. Maybe you have a trust fund. Maybe you'll have a wealthy spouse. But you never know when either one might run out. Don't mess too much with your hair, or by the time you're 40, it will look 85. Be careful whose advice you buy, but be patient with those who supply it. Advice is a form of nostalgia. Dispensing it is a way of fishing the past from the disposal, wiping it off, painting over the ugly parts, and recycling it for more than it's worth. But trust me, on the sunscreen.
Wholesomeness, quality, convenience, value for your dollar. These are just a few things to consider when you're buying beef for your freezer. Basically, you have three choices. You can buy beef as a side or a quarter, you can buy wholesale cuts, or you can choose retail cuts. And deciding which to buy, you should consider the amount of beef you can store in your freezer, the amount your family can use in a reasonable time, and the kinds of meat your family enjoys. If your family likes steak, for example, it's probably best to buy a large quantity of the kind they like when it's a featured special at your retail store. A side of beef, on the other hand, will give you about one-third steaks, one-third roast, and one-third stew or ground beef. If you want to learn more about buying meat for your freezer, we have some free information. Write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250.
Ranger Station.
I'd like to report a bear hug.
Okay.
I put out my campfire and Smokey Bear hugged me.
So you drowned the fire, you stirred it, drowned it again, and felt that it was cold?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but he's just letting you know you did good.
Bear hug from Smokey Bear. Status update.
I'm gonna let you go now.
There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at SmokeyBear.com.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service Ad Council and your state forester.
FO Medford 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Chase Blaine. With me, as always, is my illustrious co-host, Derek Gary. We're going to be here with you till 9 o'clock. If you want to give us a call, we love hearing from you. You can do so at 855-915-WMFO. And now, what are we on? National?
Whatever.